This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
To work with us on your podcast, go to soundrebel.co.uk. Over the Influence is no longer just a podcast. Our online community is buzzing with people like you.
Hi, I'm Laura. I am a community member of OTI. I've been here since I was 34 days alcohol free. I'm now 8 months, and that is probably mostly down to OTI. The community, that support that you get through doing the Zooms, I do a few a week. I post in the forum and interact in the forum as well. I've made some amazing friends. I wasn't what you would call an alcoholic, but I definitely felt like life was becoming unimaginable without alcohol. Every weekend was about going for drinks, having drinks with a meal, that sort of thing. And I just hated that control that alcohol was starting to have over me. So I started to question it, started listening to the podcast. Before I knew it, I joined the community. And I really didn't realise how much of a hold alcohol had until I stopped doing it. Being part of OTI helps me to navigate life without alcohol. And that's as simple as I can put it, really. I would urge anyone to join the community.
You've heard the podcast. Now join the conversation. Go to overtheinfluence.co.uk.
Hello and welcome to Over the Influence, the alcohol-free podcast that's now been downloaded millions of times across the globe. This is weird. I'm not Sharon, I'm Ben, and I'm usually the co-host of this podcast, but Sharon is away. We've given her the week off because she's celebrating her 25th wedding anniversary in Rome with her husband Paul. Congratulations to you both. What a good reason to not be here on the podcast today. But I'm Ben. I am 36 years old. I live in Liverpool. I am husband to Jem. I am dad to baby Leo. I'm stepdad to Alfie and Millie. And I gave up alcohol nearly 5 years ago. It'll be 5 years ago this summer. Never meant to. I was telling someone this story this week and they couldn't believe it. I just took a break for a few months. 3 months, I said, I was going to do alcohol free. And then I extended that to 6, extended it to 12. And I was fully going to go back to drinking again, exactly the way I used to. It was supposed to be a little break, just to not even reset, a little break to prove that I didn't need to drink alcohol, that I didn't have any sorts of issues. Long story short, on day 366, I decided that I was a more well-rounded person. I was a calmer person. I was a happier person. I was performing better at work. Everything, every metric that you could possibly check, I was performing better as an alcohol-free man. I was nervous doing that, guys. I say guys, it's an all-male. I think it might be the first time we've had a lads club over the influence. I was nervous about doing the intro, but now we're over that. I'm feeling calm again because I am joined by two of our most fabulous OTI community members. It's Neil and Ian. You've heard from them before. They've got their own OTI nicknames. We will be coming to those shortly. We're here today to talk about them, talk about our friend Kelly as well, Scottish Kelly, and to talk about a challenge that they're all doing in June of this year. But before we get to that, all right, boys, welcome to Over the Influence. How are we?
lads.
How are you both?
Yeah, I'm really good, thank you.
Really well, thank you, Ben. Yeah.
Good. Fantastic. Well, welcome back to the podcast because, I mean, I don't know how many times you've both appeared on Over the Influence over the years now because this is our 5th anniversary week. Later on this week, after this episode is released, it's 5 years since we released the very first Over the Influence episode just before lockdown. In March 2020, a long time ago now.
I remember it well, Ben.
You guys were pretty much listening from the really early days, weren't you, to Over the Influence?
When I first started listening to OTI, I think you had 6 episodes, and I would listen to them on repeat, you know, and I could tell you verbatim what was being said when, because I was just sucking it up, and there was only 6, and I couldn't wait for the next one to come out every week. And for me, it's 5 years for me, alcohol-free, in May of this year. So it all rings true what you're saying about it being 5 years for you. So that makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
Amazing. And Neil, we always know how old the Over the Influence community is because we can always just text you or Ali in the States and ask, because your day one was when we launched the community, which would have been then July the following year. Was that July 21 that we launched the OTI community?
It'll be 4 years this July, July the 19th. So amazing. Today, as we're recording this, I had a little quick look because I don't look at my app that often, but it's 1,332 days.
Wow.
today.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and I'm, it's an honor to be with you two guys because on this call, because you're the two that I kind of, resonated with the most, in when I was listening to the podcast. So I had a run up to becoming alcohol free. I binge listened to the podcasts before the community went live, and Ian's Mr. 365 episode.
Yes.
So he's about 12 months ahead of me. You're about 6 months ahead of me, Ben. And, you know, and I've followed your journeys all the way through. And for a 50 something, as I'm 50 now, year old male, to have somebody to kind of latch onto and say, actually, they can do that. And really kind of, like say, resonate with, was a real inspiration for me. So yeah, thank you for sharing your stories, you guys, because I think if I hadn't found OTI and you guys in particular, this journey wouldn't have been as easy as it has been.
Yeah.
Or enjoyable.
Well, that's lovely to hear. And you know what, Ian, let's start with you, because we are going to talk a little bit about our stories, because we've got people finding this podcast all the time. You can go back and you can search. Mr. 365 is your first episode. Have we called Ron the Godfather, Ian? We probably called Ron the Godfather at some point, because that's your OTI nickname. Yeah. But scroll back and find them. But, you know, we've got the full stories there. And I love that there's always a record. That's one of my favourite things about this podcast, is it's there. You know, it's always there and you can go back and hear. But let's do a little bit for new listeners who are just hearing about you guys for the very first time. And Ian, let's start with you. So 5 years ago, where were you? Because you were just about to go alcohol free.
Ben, it's a changing story. And every time you say, oh, you know, my life's not the same anymore, it's different, I'm doing this now. It's only at that very precise moment in time that applies, because in another 2 years' time, it'll be different again. It'll be different again in another month. So it does change all the time. But 5 years ago, I was a different fella. I was racked with anxiety, just not happy with the way I was living my life, constantly doing what Shaz would call the old hamster wheel of hell, you know, telling myself I didn't have a problem with drinking, that, you know, that it was just what everybody does to relax, drinking too much, feeling absolutely terrible, berating myself, hating myself, being short with the kids, being impatient, not, you know, living up to my values in terms of how I want to live my life. My fitness was poor. I was trying to be fit, but at the same time, I was, you know, just getting it all wrong. My diet was terrible. And I just wasn't very happy. I had stuff going on. I had a young family. I had, at the time, my mum, who's sadly no longer with us, was you know, in the advanced stage of dementia. And we had that going on. And I was being beaten, if you know what I mean. And I'd had a few run-ups of trying to go alcohol-free and stopping drinking, and did 3 months once, but never really got much further than that. And then, just came across the... Well, I started off on a different platform, shall we say, but it wasn't doing it for me, because it was quite impersonal, and it wasn't... The sort of themes didn't really resonate with me. And I don't know what made me come across OTI, but something did. And it was in the days of buy us a coffee to sort of help us go through. And I bought you a coffee, and I remember listening and they said, oh, we've got Ian up in the northeast, and he's here. And it was like, oh, that's me, and yeah, come on, I'm part of this. And it just sung to me, Ben, because we'll talk about OTI and what a great platform it is, but it was full of what I call normal people. Now, clearly I'm not normal, so that means none of us are normal, but it was just people who were like me and just saw the benefits in not drinking, rather than I've got a problem, I need to sort myself out, and I'm going to have to hide under a rock until I can sort this out. It's about getting on the front foot, and yeah, here I am coming up 5 years beyond that, so... Hallelujah.
So what's changed, Ian? You told us where you were 5 years ago. Where are you now as we talk?
What's changed?
March 2025 now.
What has changed? I think I'm a lot more relaxed. I'm a better bloke. I'm a better father. I'm a better husband. I'm a better colleague. But I think, without sounding ultra cheesy, I'm best friend to myself. I get a bit emotional when I think about that, because I am. I like myself. I'm all right. I might not be everyone's cup of tea, but I'm okay with who I am. I know who I am, and I'm living in tune with my values, and I'm doing a lot of different things that I wouldn't have done if I was still drinking. You know, you can talk about tangible things like I take my fitness quite seriously. I enjoy running. I enjoy trying to keep fit and strong and keeping a mental healthy mentally as well as physically. I enjoy, you know, training for marathons and things like that. But that's just the tip of the iceberg. it's more what's going on inside the top 2 inches these days is a lot different. And I'm just in tune with my values, Ben. And I'm not perfect. Don't get me wrong. You know, I'm not, if anyone's thinking, well, that's not the we know, then it's probably quite right. But I'm a lot more comfortable with who I am, Ben. That's the big difference.
Yeah. You've touched on it there, but you said that this time 5 years ago, your diet was terrible and your fitness was poor. I just hope for your sake and what you've got coming up in June that that's changed.
Well, so do I. We're going to find out, aren't we?
Yeah. Go on then, Neil. So what was it that when you heard Mr. 365, when we celebrated Ian's first year alcohol-free, what was it that resonated with you listening in Northamptonshire to this fella in the Northeast?
It was just how much you'd enjoyed it. Like, so I had done various attempts at being alcohol free, particularly through my 30s and 40s. And what I had was some tangible evidence of what it's like to drink alcohol and how it makes you feel versus not, and how productive you can be and how much better you can feel. And here I had Ian talking about all the benefits and the wins that he'd had in them 365 days. And like I said earlier on, I had a run up to become an alcohol free. So what I was doing was gathering evidence and gathering other people's opinions and how it worked for them. And Ian's was a big part of it. Yours is a big part of it. And lots of other people that have been on podcast as well. And these kind of hints, tips, advice, encouragement, wins that people were having, advice they were sharing, were starting to build up in my mind, and it was starting to live rent-free in my head of going, okay, look, all these people can't be wrong. They can't be, you know, it can't just be a fluke that they're all doing it. And what I liked about OTI and Ian's story was that it didn't seem clinical. Like, and what I mean by that is that I, on the spectrum of drinking between a non-drinker and a problematic drinker, I was probably between the non-drinker and middle lane drinker, really. You know, I wasn't reliant on alcohol. I was a habitual drinker. So I would drink something most days, if not every day. And that might only be a beer. But that could be anything up to a bottle of wine, two bottles of wine, and anything in between, really. So I had to break a habit. So I just had to kind of change up my routine of things, really. Like I say, I wasn't a problematic drinker. And OTI just seemed a really nice platform. The stories that were being shared, like I say, they weren't clinical. People weren't using terms like going dry or stopped using. It was alcohol free. I've removed alcohol. And I liked how that was shaped. I know not everybody's story is like that, but that resonated with me because that's how I would pitch my drinking, a little bit like you've shared in your sort of past drinking, Ben, where in your 20s and, you know, in your teens and 20s, it was drinking for fun. And then you were drinking on the pressures of life in 30s. That was like me. And then in kind of quite high powered ish jobs, with pressure and stress, drinking on top of that as well. It then doesn't become fun. It adds to your worries and stress and anxieties, etc. So, yeah, and like I said, I've done enough stints of not drinking. That might be dry January. It might be Lent. I managed 18 months before. So I did have some tangible evidence. And really, I just needed to grow some kahunas and just stop because I knew I wanted to. I just needed that bit of a run-up, that bit of encouragement, that bit of building evidence in my tiny little mind on how to do it. And everything kind of aligned.
Mm.
And that was it, 19th of July. 21, that was it.
How many hours do you reckon that we've spent talking together about alcohol-free life now over the course of the last few years?
Wow.
It's got to be a good few, hasn't it? Yeah, but you know what's the thing that I always find that completely just reinforces a kind of faith in humanity that I get through OTI is this, you know, we all did the same thing. We all removed alcohol, but that was just the start of it, really. That was just stage one, wasn't it? And, you know, I love that we have got the kind of relationships within OTI. We've got three blokes on a podcast. Ian's already welled up once. There's probably going to be another few times before the end that we will do that again. But that kind of authenticity, it sounds so wanky, doesn't it? But the authenticity, that kind of discovering yourself, that kind of living in true to your values, go on in. I know you want to jump in.
I'm coming out with wanky words left, right and centre all the time, Ben. And I hear myself saying these things. I think, surely there's got to be some better terminology than this, but I find myself liking myself. I find myself in touch with my values. I find myself being my own best friend. You name it, I've got all these buzzwords, but they all, they're true, because they are the things that you kind of discover. It's like you said, Ben, it's not about stopping drinking can't on its own be prized with all the achievements that you might make when you stop drinking. It's not I stopped drinking and suddenly bish bash bosh, all these things started happening just because I stopped drinking. It's the time it then gives you and the clarity that you then think, actually, I'm going to start doing this and I'm going to focus on this. And that gets momentum and you build and build and build on that. Stopping drinking was just the start. You know, that's what started. So, you know, stopping drinking on its own cannot, you know, be given all the credit. You've got to run with it and you've got to apply yourself. Mm. But you can't do those things when you're still drinking. You know, you kind of decide, right, I'm going to get into a really good fitness regime and I'm going to sort of, you know, I'm going to start running some marathons. And that's just one thing you can do. You can do whatever it might be. But you can't apply yourself if you're still drinking, because you're just resetting the clock every single day of the week.
The way I frame it, or the way I sum it up, is that it's an investment in myself. And that's it. Everything good that's happened in my life in the last 3.5 years of being alcohol free, there is a dotted line into me removing the alcohol. All of the things that's in there, it's all the things that I would maybe have talked about doing, but not actually got round to doing it. I may have got there in the end, but it wouldn't have been as quickly or as focused or as driven as it has been.
Mm. Let's talk then about the summer, because this episode is going to be called something like, you know, the Team OTI Triathlon. But this isn't...
Whoa, stop.
You've missed a word out there.
Sorry.
It's not a triathlon. Well, it's a triathlon. Okay. It's an Ironman. Come on, Ben, give it a proper title.
Okay. The Ironman.
Massively undersold.
Okay. Right, we'll call it something like that. You can give us the full details on the event, what you'll be doing as a three in June of this year. We'll give out all the fundraising links and everything. But actually, when we were talking before we started recording, this, I don't think, is an OTI episode about an Ironman triathlon that's coming up in the summer. This is actually an episode about friendship, isn't it? Because let's talk about our friend Scottish Kelly and her mad idea. So Kelly can't be with us today because she's currently in the mountains, I believe, training for the Ironman triathlon. Because she's up in the mountains, is she in Greece? She's somewhere.
Crete.
Yeah. She's training today. She's away from the Wi-Fi, so she couldn't join us for this. I am going to try and get Kelly on her own for the premium podcast later this week, probably when she lands back in the UK. So I will be talking to Kelly. But I'd like to ask you, Ian, tell me about our friend Scottish Kelly.
Scottish Kelly threw us under the bus. I think this is sort of start and end it there, I think, really. It's a good job we love her, because Kelly came to Neil and I and said, look, I've entered into this challenge to do an Ironman. It's at Kielder Reservoir, and Kielder's a fantastic place, in June, and I could do with some help. Have you got any ideas? I said, well, a moment of weakness, and this is where the ego kicks in.
I need some help. Have you got any ideas?
The answer's yes. The answer's yes. What's the question?
Lead. It's leading that, isn't it? In the first.
It's almost like, Ian, you're fit, aren't you? Oh yes, Kelly, I am very fit. Yes. What do you want to talk about? Well, you know, I need some help with, so played on all my sort of ego, and I'm thinking, suddenly I'm finding myself. Yeah, I can swim 2.4 miles. Yeah. I don't bother at all. And Neil's dead good at cycling, so why don't we get Neil to do the cycle? Yeah, great idea. So Kelly threw us under the bus, Ben, I think is probably the title of this podcast.
Okay. Well, I will talk to Tom, who edits the podcast, and we'll come up with a few different suggestions. But, you know, in terms of... So when did you first meet Kelly, Neil? Because this is... You guys both didn't know Kelly. She's persuaded you to do this bonkers thing. Yeah. But, you know, a few years ago, you'd never met Scottish Kelly.
First time I met her was on a boat party, alcohol-free boat party in London in June 3 years ago, I think. Yeah, around about then. So that was the first time I met her IRL in real life. But before that, it was on any of the Zooms here. So, yeah. And she's incredibly active, always running, always doing something. It's not a surprise that we're doing something together. In fact, like as Ian said, it's actually really lovely that we're able to do something together. She was going to attempt this herself. I think as Ian hasn't mentioned and realized, and very wisely, that she'd bitten off more than she can chew on this, because it's a hell of a commitment. It's called the Northumbrian, and it is savage. As Ian has said, he's got, 2.5 mile swim. I've got 112 mile bike ride. Kelly runs a marathon. Now, I quipped. The answer was yes. What's the question? You can ride a bike, Neil. Do you fancy doing it? Now, 112 miles, I'm not saying that isn't a problem, because I've done that sort of distance various times. What I hadn't looked into was the elevation. So the elevation gain on this bike ride is around about 12,000 feet. Now, the highest bike ride I have done to date is around about 8,000 feet. So it's pretty brutal. It's a 66-mile route, but you do it twice. So if I hit some massive hills on route one, I know I've then got to hit them again on route two.
The psychological element of that is going to be...
that's
gonna, yeah.
And just to put it into context for some people that... So we've done, obviously, quite a few OTI hikes, organised hikes, and 12,000 feet. So we had done the Yorkshire Three Peaks. Mm-hmm. When we'd hiked that is 5,000 in total.
What if you add all three on top of each other?
I've got a double in total.
Right.
That is 5,000 feet, three of them, yeah.
Wow, okay.
So I've got to do 12,000.
Yeah, cool, no problem. You'll be fine. You'll be fine.
And he actually goes over the border, so I'm in Scotland for a bit as well and then come back. These guys are swimming the lake and running around it. I'm like, see you later. Bye. I'm off to Scotland and then I'll be back.
Okay, so what's the order then? So who's going first? And so you're handing over to each other at each point.
Man.
Right, okay. So you start with the swim, Ian, and I imagine it's not in a kind of, tepid swimming pool.
Well, I haven't checked the gradient in the lake, Ben, but I suspect that's not really a factor, because it's 2.4 miles and I've never swam 2.4 miles in my life. So between now and then, I do need to get my wetsuit on and I need to get practicing. I think I'll be all right. I did a half Ironman swim leg last year, which was 1.2 miles and it was okay. Mm-hmm. It was all right, but it was a shock to the system. The first time I've really swam in a lake ever, and it's a totally different experience to going down your municipal pool and doing a few lengths in there. So, yeah, it's all sorts. It was such a shock that you get in and there's all these reeds that are coming up from the ground. So every time you sort of like you're doing your stroke, you're pulling up all these weeds and then you get a mouthful of something. You've got people clobbering you left, right, and centre. Whacking you as they're unintentionally as they're going past you. Goggles are coming off. You're getting swollen load of water. And that's going to be, there's double that. It's going to take me, was it about an hour and 45 minutes, something like that? Swimming in the
solid.
Lake.
So
it's a long time.
Yeah.
I'll do it. I've said I'm going to do it and I'll do it, but it ain't going to be pretty.
Ian, you've done it, and you've emerged like Daniel Craig coming out of the ocean on the other side of the lake. And who do you pass over to? Who's going next?
So then we pass over to Neil.
Right,
and,
okay.
Neil's got a take on his biking. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Twice round, and then Kelly does a marathon then.
Yeah.
Okay. I wish you the best of luck. I know that you'll do it. Let's give out the link now. Who's going to do it in their best advert voice? I mean, I've got it here. If you,
you're the man with the, the voices.
Okay, so I've done this before because obviously I did my Three Peaks last year, I set up a Just Giving. So if you'd like to donate to Team OTI fundraiser for Alcohol Change UK, we'll talk about Alcohol Change UK next, actually. But if you would like to donate, justgiving.com/page/team OTI. Now, the / page is very important, isn't it? I remember this from when I did my Three Peaks Challenge. justgiving.com/page/team OTI. And you know what? There's some lovely donations on there already. You got off to a good start. Really good to see. Lots of OTI names that I recognise there. Why Alcohol Change UK? Why are you deciding to raise money for them?
It was Kelly's idea, and quite rightly so, because you know, I think she's been doing some work with Alcohol Change sort of in the background, shall we say. And I'll let you let her tell you that story, Ben. It's not for me to say it. But I think, and you know, what I know of Alcohol Change UK is that, and we said this before we came on the chat, reading the narrative, I think, for Alcohol Change UK these days is bang up to date with what I think the message should be about alcohol in the, you know, the wider world. It's about, it doesn't come out and say the positives of not drinking. It covers a very broad church, if you know what I mean. But it isn't that old message of, oh, you've got a problem with drinking, have you? You can't cope like everybody else can. You can't just you can't limit yourself to one, and you've got yourself in trouble. It's not that at all. It's a lot more about the positives of not drinking. It covers the tough stuff as well, and obviously it covers quite a broad church, like I say. But I like the message. I think it's a really good sort of modern message. It's about the positives of not drinking, you know, what you can do in as an alternative to not drinking, getting out in nature, you know, exercising more, eating better, you know, the social things you do. It's just a really good sort of good message. So I think it's one that we all need to sort of, as a country and as a world, we need to get the positive message out there about not drinking, that it's not what you're losing, it's what you're gaining, and what doors it can open when you actually, you know, do decide that I want to do something else with my life.
What about you, Neil?
Yeah, I mean, it's a really lovely kind of platform that they've got. If anyone wants to go and have a look at their website, it's really lovely. Some stories on there, so it's user friendly. Just like, say, the message that they put out, a little bit like I said earlier on, it doesn't have that clinical feel about it. Mm-hmm. It will give you kind of ideas, or it will give you suggestions, or it will give you, you know, just because you don't want to drink anymore doesn't mean that you've got a problem. And it's just got a really lovely feel to it, I have to say. And the fact that they're kind of bending over backwards for us. Kelly will explain more when she speaks on the Prem Pod, when you say about her, but when you speak to her about it. But it's really, they're really embracing our challenge. Yeah. They're helping us where we can, and you know, with you know, send us your t-shirt and your vest sizes, we'll provide you the kit for whatever you've got to do. So it's lovely. It's not just raise money and we'll forget about you. It's actually, what can we do to help you through this? Mm-hmm. In fact, Kelly messaged us, we've got an Ironman WhatsApp group, and she messaged us the other day that, in fact, the message that has gone out to the event organisers has really landed with them, and they want to do a bit on us around alcohol change, you know, because it's something different than what they would normally get. Some of the charities that are being sort of showcased there do brilliant work, no doubt. But there's something about this that has been pitched just right. Mm-hmm. The fact that, you know, it's Alcohol Change UK, it's OTI, it's three friends that are coming together to do the relay for it. It's just a really lovely, tangible story and relatable story. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking forward to, you know, we touched on the kind of exercise side of it, and I can sit on a bike all day. I've had to change my training up because of, I talked about the elevation gain. I'm having to change my training to take me to not a dark place in my mind, but I'm going to be sat cycling uphill for 4 or 5 hours. So I need to do things that are going to help me not panic, keep my breathing in check, my heart rate in check, all of these things that you think. So when I talked a little bit about focus, removing alcohol gives you focus, and that's what I'm doing with this, clarity. 4.5 years ago, would I have done this? I probably would, but I wouldn't be focusing on it now as much as I am, here we are, March, we're still 3-4 months out from it. And here I am, it's given me, I'm focusing on that. I've got a cycling holiday with my friends that I cycle with, end of May up in the Alps in France. So that'll be good training for me as well. So I'm putting everything in order for me to be able to complete it, but not just complete it, but just enjoy it also. Mm-hmm. is the thing.
Got any good podcasts you can listen to whilst you're on the bike for 4 hours?
Maybe. Obviously OTI is my firm favourite, but there is a couple of comedy ones that I listen to at the minute that that help me as well. Mm-hmm. Have a little laugh here and there. But yeah, OTI is obviously firm fave.
Sorry, Ian, I cut you off. You're about to say something probably profound and deep, and I just made a silly gag about OTI.
I just want to read some of the bits off the Alcohol Change website, if I may, because I think it's quite succinct and it gets to the point really well, I think. So let me just quickly rattle this off. Alcohol is a part of many of our lives. We use it for celebration, for comfort, to socialise, to wind down, to cope. We treat it differently to other drugs. It's legal, socially acceptable, even encouraged. Yet, in the UK, one person every hour dies as a result of alcohol. Alcohol harm, mental health problems, liver disease, one of 7 forms of cancer, economic difficulties, and so much more can affect any one of us from any walk of life. We are Alcohol Change UK. We work for a society that is free from the harm caused by alcohol. We are not anti-alcohol. We are for alcohol change. We are for a future in which people drink as a conscious choice, not a default, where the issues which lead to alcohol problems, like poverty, mental health issues, homelessness, are addressed, where those of us who drink too much and our loved ones have access to high-quality support wherever we need it, without shame or stigma. I just think those words kind of really sum up, you know, quite nicely. You know, quite a broad spectrum of issues that we all talk about quite often on OTI, don't we? And yet, you know, it's such a sort of, you know, broad message, but I think it's a useful, positive one. But the one thing that got me out of that, which kind of struck me and kind of got me a little bit annoyed, really, but I calmed myself down, was about one person every hour dies as a result of alcohol. That's 24 people a day. And
in the UK?
In the UK.
Which is, you know, a country of 60 million people, whatever it is, 65 million people.
Yeah. It was something on the news where, you know, something had happened and in one incident, 24 people had died. It would be top page news, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
And yet it's happening daily. And it's like, God, we're just, this isn't getting the platform that it needs.
It's a really shocking statistic, that, isn't it? And it's, and I'd not heard that. I mean, I like to go on the Alcohol Change UK website. You know, I like a stat, boys. You know, I like to kind of, you know, throw them in every now and pretend that they're mine. One person every hour dying as a direct result of alcohol. Ian, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. If that was anything else, it'd be top priority, wouldn't it? It'd be absolute top priority. Yeah. And it's those kind of stats that I think really cut through with this kind of thing. It really makes it real, doesn't it? And it's, you know, that's what you're doing this for. I mean, look, have you got a target that you're raising here? Have you got a fundraising target that you're hoping to achieve? And let's give out that link again, justgiving.com/page/teamOTI.
Target of 3,750.
Ooh, okay.
Is what we're down on for there.
Yeah, okay, good.
Yeah.
And how confident are you feeling?
Very.
Okay, good. You look confident, actually.
Yeah. It's just, I mean, we're still a few months out, and, you know, once the podcast goes out, that might help sort of spike it a little bit as well. Mm-hmm. And just, we'll share it on all platforms and social media platforms, and just give it a good push along the way. There's been some very generous donations already.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's such a worthy cause, isn't it? And at a time where, you know, people this time of year, lots of people ask for donations and different things. So there's obviously marathons go. We're in marathon season coming up soon. I mean, Kelly's doing, and Andy and both doing Paris next month. Kelly's also linked this to her marathon as well. So and then obviously we've got the Race for Life and all this. There's so many brilliant charities out there, and but it's one that's, this is obviously very close to our heart. And I think if you are passionate about it, you do what you can to get them funds up, don't you? You push it in all ways you can. So yeah, there might be, Kelly's on about doing fundraising events and all sorts of things that she'll be able to share. But yeah, it, at the minute we've just had like a bit of a soft launch of it, and we're already probably 10% there already of it. So and that's just with us just sharing it on social medias without really pushing it.
Now just chip in there. So just something that's occurred to me while you were talking there, Neil, that something else that kind of measures where I'm kind of at in my head these days is, if you'd asked me to get involved with in this, maybe a year ago, 2 years ago, certainly, I thought, oh, I don't want my name associated with something that suggests that I'm raising money for an alcohol-based charity. That suggests I had a problem with drinking, and I don't want everyone to come to conclusions that or think negatively of me and the relationship that I had with drink. Now I just think, you know what, I want to talk about this, I want to get that message out there, and I don't care what people think. People can come to their own conclusions about this. This is a really good charity, this is a really good sort of event, and we should be talking about it. And you know, we talk so much within OTI about the benefits that not drinking does for you. I personally, up until now, and it's nearly 5 years now, I don't talk enough about it with outside of OTI. And it's took me a while to get there, but I'm there now, and I'm more than happy to talk about these sort of things. And I should be. I mean, I'm not massive on social media, but I should be happy to plaster this all over Facebook and over LinkedIn or whatever it should be.
You're having a laugh. You're Mr. LinkedIn, aren't you? Your posts go viral. Was it a couple of years ago you had that post that broke the internet about alcohol and meetings and work? That's right. I'm thinking that was a...
I'd rather go for a run, yeah.
Yeah, all right.
Have a meeting. But yeah, I do think you're underselling yourself a bit, Ian, because you're Mr. 365, and without me listening to that, without you doing that, that podcast, you're a huge influence on me and inspiration. And I like I said earlier on, I may not have been doing so far along as I am now, being alcohol-free.
But there's a difference between doing podcasts and then letting them do what they do and thinking, well, actually, chances are there's not that many people listening to, back in the olden days when the numbers were down then, you know, there wasn't a danger. there wasn't a danger of that many people actually coming across it. But that's one thing, doing the podcast and then letting them go. But it's in my head, it's different for me to actually send a note round saying, this is what I'm doing. I'm doing this and I feel quite strongly about this and I'm keen to help on this. That to me shows progress in myself, which I'm quite proud of.
So, absolutely. So it's a change within you. Do you think, you know, a change within society as well? Do you think that's kind of, is a combination of both? Or
I think it is. I'm a lot more confident to talk about it now because I know that my audience are not going to be as, you know, old school, shall we say, in their views about, you know, people who don't drink. There's now an admiration, I think, for people who don't drink. There's a recognition that actually, yeah, there's a lot of reasons why you don't drink. And actually, if I dared to try and suggest to Ian the reasons, you know, that maybe he should go back to drinking, I know that I get shot down in no time because my argument's full of holes. So yeah, it has definitely changed, Ben.
It's the fifth year, you know, 5 years ago this week we started this podcast, and to hear you talking about that and having that confidence to be proud of the fact that you're alcohol free, to be proudly raising money for Alcohol Change UK, I can't tell you how unbelievably proud I am of OTI that it's done. You know, it's what's happened with this thing is that 5 years ago there was an idea, this woman called Sharon Hartley called me up and said, I want to do this podcast about alcohol-free life. And then, you know, got me mics and went round the kitchen table, it was, first of all. Shaz turned up in her blouse, pretended to be all posh. And, you know, we'd never have thought 5 years later that this is what would be happening in the community. And we always talk, don't we, about how, you know, we've got big gobs and we're happy to use them, but we understand that not everybody feels that kind of confidence to be so public about their own alcohol-free journeys, their own relationships with alcohol previously, where they are now. But I tell you what, if you are confident enough, like if you do feel ready to do it, please do. We talk about the lighthouses, don't we, with an OTI, that you just never know what the knock-on effect is going to be. Like, who's going to see this on Facebook? You know, who's going to see this challenge and look into it? Oh, that looks interesting. Who's going to see the photos of you guys at the finish line? You know, who's going to hear about this? You know, it just, the knock-on, if you just never know what ripples are going to come from doing stuff like this, do you? I feel like you're itching, Neil. Come on, jump in.
Yeah, I just want to talk a little bit about the community and how that kind of helps it. So I was just talking to somebody within OTI the other day about, so for instance, if I was to just to generalize a little bit here, so people do dry January, they do January, feel really good. They then think, well, I'll just carry on until February because February's a short month. And then they think, actually, I've done 60 odd days. I might as well go for 100. Then they've done 100. Then they start to think, actually, if I can do 100, why not go for kind of, why not go for 6 months? 6 months comes. And then conversations start around, how am I going to get through an alcohol-free holiday? And then that all passes. And then the schools go back in September. And then it's like, we start to get into kind of Halloween, bonfire, Christmas, into silly season. Like, how am I going to get through? And before you know it, they've done a year. Now, I'm a Zoom host and have been for about 3 years now. And what I find lovely has happened is that while this has gone, the community's grown and we've started to get more people, rather than me saying, this is how it feels, we've also got people contributing to the Zoom saying, this is, I've gone through this circle. And I've come through it and then we're back to dry January and we've got some new members coming and they're having the same conversations. But what's lovely is that there's lots of people that we have now that can give the advice. Yeah. And it's not just the lighthouses of the, you know, Ian and yourself were for me. We've now got people that have got 12 months under their belt, that are now advising people who have joined the community. And it's really lovely how everyone kind of helps everyone. There's always somebody that's either a bit further on than you that you can get advice from, or there's somebody beneath you in day count that is looking for advice as well. So that you can kind of, it's a really lovely community to help people or be helped. Mm. And it's got that sort of really nice warm feeling of everyone's sort of looking out for each other. Now, we touched on it a little bit earlier on about like a gym membership where you pay a gym membership and you think, that's it, I'm going to be fit now. A little bit like our membership, you don't just pay your subs here and then it all falls into place. You have got to work at it. And it is, you know, it is lovely when you see people that are, that blossom, that actually throw themselves into it, take the advice, plan ahead, seek help, advice, confide in other people via either the platform or a chat or on a Zoom, and just they have something coming up, they plan it, the event happens, and afterwards they say, actually, I managed it. It was great. And actually, I really enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. So it's lovely how it's sort of grown organically over the kind of 3.5 years the community's been going, but also just how people just want to help each other.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned that you're a Zoom host. Well, you both are fabulous Zoom hosts for us. You're actually doing the one that starts in, well, 11 minutes, Neil. Yeah, and you did say that, you know, we couldn't be late. And you've got a load of people there waiting for you to host the call at 7. So I have got one final question for you both, but I just wondered, is there anything that you want to talk about before I get to my final question? Ian, your hand's up.
I just want to say one thing which has occurred to me, which whilst we've just been talking, is we've chatted about Kelly, and obviously, unfortunately, Kelly can't be with us today, but this is Kelly's baby, if you know what I mean. This was Kelly's idea, and I'm really quite honoured that she asked Neil and I to help her on and undertake this task. I just think it says everything for the OTI, the three people who, you know, typically don't see each other day to day. Rarely, you know, we get together for the occasional meetup, but typically we don't see each other. We see each other on Zooms. But, you know, you can form such good friendships with people and you want to help people. And, you know, Kelly was really keen to convert this challenge. And I'm just honoured that she's asked Neil and I to be able to do it with her. Sorry, I'll just quickly say this. And like I said a minute ago, it's put me onto another level. I don't mean so much about the swimming. That is going to be a hard task. Of course it is. But it's put me onto another level with my confidence of being alcohol free. And I'm actually now brave enough to go out and go, I'm doing this and I'm doing it for alcohol free. and it's a bloody good alcohol change rather, and it's a bloody good charity, and you should be looking at it, you should be reading up about it, and you should be sponsoring. So I say thank you very much to Kelly.
Yeah, and I'll just sort of add a little bit onto that to say that, you know, it is an honour to be trusted to do the cycling part of it. And like Ian said, you know, Kelly lives in Scotland, Ian lives in Newcastle, I'm in the Midlands, you know, we're quite a distance from each other. But, you know, I'm embracing that trust that I'm going to do my training, I'm going to be at the best peak fitness to complete this challenge. And what will also help me drive, especially on the day, is all these really kind donations. So at the time where I am,
it makes a massive difference, Neil.
Up a mountain, and I'm thinking, actually, someone has gone out of their way to put some money into this worthwhile cause, and that will be enough to kind of inspire and drive me. And I think I've done a couple of things like charity events, and on the day, I'm really quite emotional, and I think I will be on that day as well. You know. Before, during and after.
Honestly, I am fully expecting that, and justgiving.com/page/TeamOTI. I'm fully expecting that after this is released on Monday, you'll see those donations fly up, because that's what happened when I did my challenge. I couldn't believe it. I think I said I wanted to raise £1,000. And I think after, you know, a couple of weeks, it was OTI. Before I'd told friends and family about it, it was OTI that had already doubled that target. And, you know, for me, it was for a charity that was really close to my heart as well, Older Hay Children's Charity, the hospital here in Liverpool. But it really, like, please, if you're listening to this, just whatever you can, doesn't need to be, you know, loads of dollars, whatever you can donate, please do to this, because I've never forget the feeling of getting to Snowdon, doing the Three Peaks last year, and we started at Ben Nevis. And then went down, did Scarfell, did that one in the dark, and then, you know, bit of a sleep on the coach on the way to Snowdon. The last thing I wanted to do when my eyes opened and the coach came to a shudder at the bottom of Snowdon was climb that bloody mountain. It was foggy. I had the moment where, I think I talked about it on the podcast, where we'd been climbing for ages, and I thought, God, we've got to be nearly there. And the fog cleared like Jurassic Park. The fog cleared, and I had to strain my neck to see just how far there was still to go. And in that moment, when my legs couldn't do any more, and there's still so far to go, it was the donations. That was the thing that got me through. And it wasn't about the money. It was exactly what you said there, that someone's believed in me enough here to go, you can do this, and I've got to do it, and I've got to do it for every single person, whether they donated £500 or £5, it doesn't matter, you know, I've got to do this now. So if you're listening to this, please do justgiving.com/page/TeamOTI. I said I had a final question, but my final question was, what's your message to Kelly? Because I thought I'd start off the premium podcast with that. But I feel like you've covered that, unless you'd like to add in a kind of, you know, and don't bloody delete my number after this. Any messages like that, I'm happy to pass on too.
I just want a reminder that she's chucked us under the bus and just yours is one.
just a bit. Neil, Ian, it's been an absolute pleasure to speak to you. I don't know about you, but I quite like this new OTI format. I think we could roll with this for a little bit longer. Yes. What's her name? Sharon will be back next week. Of course she will. But thank you for listening to Over the Influence. You can always find out more about what we do, overtheinfluence.co.uk. But that's not the URL I want you to remember today. Let's do it one last time. justgiving.com/page/TeamOTI. Let's get there now, and I'm sure that you'll be receiving a nice little donation from a slot as well.
Bob Geldof's got nothing on you, Ben.
Neil and Ian, thanks very much and good luck.
Thank you. Great job, Ben.
Thanks, Ben.